As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I wonder if you ever get the feeling that there's always something getting in the way. Somehow life has become one big obstacle course. Now, obstacle races can be fun at a school sports day, and some people enjoy adventure racing over assault courses and through lots of mud. But when life itself, work, family life, relationships, friendships, projects, become a relentless exercise in hitting brick walls, then it can wear us down. Over the last month or so, we've been reading through Ezra and Nehemiah and their accounts of leading the people of God in the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple in Jerusalem. And this wasn't always a smooth process for them. Despite the worship and the working together, the concern for social justice and being centered on God's word, things we've talked about over the last month, things did not always go well. There were many obstacles. And these obstacles were often people who didn't want to see them succeed. These people opposed the rebuilding, and they had a variety of weapons at their disposal. One of the weapons they had was writing letters to the king. Writing letters to the king objecting. Email hadn't been invented, so they had to write letters, and we heard one of them this morning, or part of it. And to be honest, in the short term, their opposition succeeded. If you read on in chapter 4 in Ezra, you find the king's response. He wrote back. And he had looked through the records and he had discovered that Jerusalem had been troublesome. And he commanded the building to stop. And the chapter finishes with this. Thus the work on the house of God in Jerusalem came to a standstill. But we also know that in the long term, the opposition failed. The temple did get rebuilt. So did the walls, despite similar opposition when Nehemiah was doing that. So, how did they do it? And what can we learn from their example about how we can rebuild in our lives and our community, in our church, post-COVID? So, the first thing I'd like to pick out comes at the beginning of the next chapter of Ezra. You read on into chapter 5, it says, we find the people of God listening to the prophets. We read that Haggai and Zechariah prophesied to the people of God. And fortunately, we have accounts of what Haggai and Zechariah said because they have their own books in the Bible. So you can go and read Haggai and Zechariah and you can find out what they said to the people of God. And a good summary of their prophecy and their challenge is found in Haggai chapter 1 verses 2 to 4. It says this. This is what the Lord God Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in panelled houses while this house remains a ruin? Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in panelled houses while this house remains a ruin? Basically, Haggai calls them out. You see, if you read that letter in chapter 4 from the king, it had commanded all building in the city to stop. But somehow, the inhabitants had still managed to build their houses and made them very nice, thank you. Lots of nice wood panelling. But the temple was still in ruins. They'd become comfortable and perhaps were hiding behind the edict to give them an excuse to not get on with rebuilding the temple. Prophecy. The second thing I'd like to pick out is prayer. Now, to be honest, we don't see this so much in Ezra, but in Nehemiah, in the face of similar opposition to the rebuilding of the city wall, we read this. Hear us, our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own head. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Now, We might not be very comfortable with the content of that prayer. It's not very love your enemies, is it? But it is the first thing that Nehemiah does in the face of opposition, in the face of challenge. He turns to God and he tells God how he feels, honestly. He knew that there's no point in trying to hide your true feelings from God. God knows our hearts. Nehemiah said what he thought. And that emphasis on prayer, it's picked up by Paul in his letter to the church in Ephesus, which Barry read for us. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, says Paul. He doesn't leave any gaps or exceptions. All occasions, every single time, whatever is going on, all kinds of prayers and requests, honest, cheeky, small, big, angry, sad, happy, joyful, all kinds, all the time, all kinds. Prayer. And the third aspect of dealing with opposition I want us to think about is the practical. The people get on with it. As you read on, is Ezra chapter 5. In verse 1, we get the prophetic kick up the backside. And in verse 2, we get, then Zerubbabel and Joshua set to work to rebuild the house of God in Jerusalem. They got on with it. In Nehemiah, we read that as the people were rebuilding the city wall, he set guards on the low bits of the wall. And he sorted it out so half the workmen were working on the wall and half the men were guarding. And even he had the people building the wall. It said that they had their tools in one hand and a weapon in another and a sword at their side. They got on with it. They made practical plans and they got on with it. So that was their situation in rebuilding Jerusalem. They faced opposition for years, but they overcame it by listening to the prophets, by prayer, and by practical steps. So what about us as we rebuild and return after COVID? I wonder what oppositions or challenges we feel like we face. Now, I don't think that people are writing nasty letters to us about the council trying to shut us down. We haven't got that one. Good. Hey! So, what do we face? Well, there are two things that I think I see in our community, and I just encourage us to think about those a bit this morning. As Liz said a few minutes ago, today is World Mental Health Day. And I think there has been a mental health impact of the pandemic. The World Health Organization says this: the COVID-19 pandemic has had a major impact on people's mental health. Some groups, including health workers and other frontline workers, students, people living alone, and those with pre-existing mental health conditions have been particularly affected. And services for mental, neurological, and substance abuse disorders have been significantly disrupted. This is affecting us, our communities, and our church. And I want to share a little bit of my story with you this morning, not to get sympathy or for you all to ask how I am, but just to be open. So I've lived with bouts of depression and feeling low for the last 12, 15 years. I'm a typical bloke and have resisted going to the doctor, despite my wife repeatedly saying to me, when are you going to go to the doctor? And during lockdown, it got worse. I became more anxious. And I was praying about it one morning. I've been praying about it for a while. Praying about it one morning, saying, God, why don't you sort this out? And God, I got a sense of God looking at me in fond exasperation and saying, why don't you just go to the doctor? So I did. And the doctor prescribed me some antidepressants and some online cognitive behavioural therapy, which I've been taking. I've been doing for about 3 months. I do feel a little bit better for it. Not completely sorted, but somewhat better. I prayed about it for a long time. I finally listened to what God was saying about it, and I took some practical steps. Now, I'm not saying that these are silver bullets to solve any mental health concern or issue we might be facing. I really aren't. I don't want to simplify or trivialise complex issues. But it does seem to me that these three things taken together can be powerful in releasing us from our anxieties and helping us to re-engage in community and church life. They're not the whole answer, but perhaps they could be part of it. And the second thing I think I see in community, in church, and not just in church, I'm a member of a boat club. I see this in the boat club as well. I'd call it priority changes. People's priorities have changed, it seems to me. And I'll be honest, I feel a real tension about this one as a church leader, as a pastor. You see, one of the things that lockdown did was force many of us to put things down, particularly those things we did voluntarily. For some of it also meant a lot more time at home, with our families, and the opportunity to do things together. For others, it meant work going completely insane, working all hours in horrible conditions. There was this kind of division. There were those who suddenly found themselves with a whole load more time, and those who suddenly found themselves with a whole load less time. For some, life got much less busy, and they found that helpful. And as a pastor and as a church leader, I want to commend the rediscovery of Sabbath, of rest, of a healthier life balance. As I said, for some, life got much busier, and they're now exhausted. And as a pastor, I want to say, it's okay, relax, take some time, recharge, don't burn out. The problem is, if we all take a step back, and the rebuilding doesn't happen, and the community life which we value, which many of us experienced as being important during COVID as a support, there's a risk that that starts to fall apart. As a really practical example of this, our AV team, who's been doing sterling work for the last 2 years, keeping all the tech going, and meaning we can have online services and all that kind of stuff, it shrunk significantly. At the moment, I don't have any tech team for Sunday the 7th of November. There's still time to train some folk, but if we don't, then we're going to have a really simple service that morning. I'm actually not going to be here. That's one of the reasons Nathaniel's not here. We're away for a weekend. I don't share this to try and make anyone feel guilty or for folk who've felt they need to step away from the AV team to try and shoehorn them back in. I am just sharing it that it's a challenge that we as a church community face together. In this area of church life, in other areas of church life, we're not running creche this morning because we don't have enough creche helpers. There are other areas of church, lots of church areas of life, this is affecting. And I don't know what the answer is. As I said, I want to commend the rediscovery of Sabbath. I want to give those who are exhausted a rest. It may be that we need to do less or to do what we do more simply. I'm not sure what that would look like. My fear is that we would miss some of the richness of what we've been able to do in the past and that perhaps things would go into a bit of a spiral. So I don't yet know what the answer is. And to be honest, it's not just for me to find an answer and tell you all guys all what to do. It's for us, a church community, to find the answer together. We are the church. And what can we do? Well, let's go back to Ezra and Nehemiah, shall we? I believe we can keep our ears open for that prophetic and challenging voice. Is there a sense in which we are comfortable in our panelled homes while the temple is in ruins? Or are there other things that God is saying to us? We can pray. We can share our mixed feelings about all this with God, and we can pray for guidance, for wisdom, for the resources to do what we need to do and to know what that is. What is God calling us to do? And then there are practical steps. We can get on with it. I mentioned at the beginning of service the discipleship survey we did. Another thing that the anonymity caused me a problem with was there was an option to tick if you wanted to get involved in various areas of church life, which quite a few people did, which is brilliant, but I don't know who you are. So if you fill that survey in and you tick that you'd like to be involved in reading the Bible or doing the intercessions or other areas of church life and nobody's got in touch with you, then don't sit there thinking, I ticked that on the survey, but nobody's been in touch with me. Please. Drop me an email. Talk to Caroline or Claire or Nick. Now's a really good time to do this because beginning of next month, we'll be putting the rotas together for next term. So if you want to get involved, this is the time to say so, so you can be on the rota next term. The survey was very encouraging about the support the church gives, and the Mission and Discipleship Action Group are going to be working further on that. If you didn't get the opportunity to do the survey, so you didn't think that you'd like to be involved in an area of church life, but you would, that doesn't have to stop you. You still talk to me, and we can plug you into that. So, as I come into land, I'd encourage us to be talking to God, to be listening to God, and to be stepping out into what God is calling us to do. Amen.